Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is a very busy Monday at the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John Fricke, Hugh Douglas, everybody here. Daryl Ashurst, Wendy, and Arthur Trish AT is back in action with us, and always glad to have him back. And thrilled to see him back at the station this morning. Mentioned it's a very busy week ahead. It's going to be a busy day. One of the key kind of cool things we got, Hugh, is we have the signing bonuses back in about 12 minutes or so.
$1,000.
$1,000.
$1,000 signing bonus. That means somebody's going to be $1,000 richer this morning.
Yeah, I want them to win $1,000 today. We'll do that in about 12 minutes. So just be listening for that when we get around to doing that. And, of course, we do have our poll up at 929 The Game on Twitter about which of the four Braves All-Stars was the team's MVP of the first half, and we'll be talking about that throughout the show. Is it Freddie? Is it Ozzy? Is it Nick Markakis? Or is it Mike Foltynewicz? And that's up again at our Twitter, at 929TheGame. Through all that, Atlanta United has the tie. We'll be talking with Mike Conley in the 9 o'clock hour, yada, yada, yada. Mentioned it's a very busy Monday. It's going to be a very busy week. The ACC has its media days later in the week in North Carolina. But right now, the SEC media days are here in Atlanta beginning today. Now, it'll start this morning at 11 o'clock. They're having it over at the College Football Hall of Fame. And the commissioner, Greg Sankey, will speak this morning. And he'll start it off. And the three teams that are going to be talking today are Texas A&M, Kentucky, and LSU. And just kind of looking at the rundown, Jimbo Fisher is going to bring a number of his star players, Mark Stoops and Ed Orgeron. Ed Orgeron is not bringing, and I don't blame him, Huey, is not bringing the new quarterback, Joe Burrow, though. Isn't that who everybody really wants to hear from?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, trying to figure out, you know, what was his choice? Why did he choose LSU? And what's going to be different? Because the one thing that LSU has not done in forever has groomed their own quarterback. They haven't groomed one yet. Mm-hmm. And you know, now they're going, they get this guy, and a lot of people want to ask what the game plan for LSU this year. They're going to throw the ball a little bit more.
Right, exactly. I mean, and it's been a long time for LSU because, you know, really the best quarterback LSU's had over the last, what, maybe, you know, 8, 9, 10 years.
Jamarcus?
Well, or Mettenberger.
Okay.
But he came from Georgia. You know, I mean, and so, I mean, yeah, you had the Matt Flynn's and Matt Mock's of the world, but not exactly, you know, lighten it up. Well, you had Jamarcus, but, I mean, it not exactly been a quarterback factory down there at LSU. So Sankey will speak today, and then Jimbo Fisher. First time we've seen Jimbo Fisher as the head coach of A&M, and that'll happen today. By the way, just a quick peek ahead. Among the teams speaking Tuesday will be Georgia and Florida. On Wednesday, Tennessee and Alabama. And on Thursday, the last day, Auburn will be up with South Carolina. Among the teams, everybody's speaking. I'm just saying that's kind of the highlights. Georgia goes Tuesday, Bama Wednesday, Auburn on Thursday at the SEC Media Days, and then at the end of the week, as mentioned, the ACC Media Days. One thing to note about the SEC Media Days, normally, and I've been to the SEC Media Days in the past, and they were held at a fairly nondescript hotel in the Birmingham suburb of Hoover, all right, where the most exciting thing to do was to get done with your report and go to the dog races, all right? That was about it. And the SEC offices are also there in Hoover, Alabama. The SEC Network is part of ESPN's big conglomerate, Hugh, that they have up in Charlotte, mm-hmm, with the ACC. And I understand that from a technical standpoint, it just seems to me, and I'm going to go stand on my soapbox a little bit because, you know, we may have the attention of some of the SEC officials. What the hell are you guys doing? Move from Hoover, Alabama to Atlanta. Move, at least build studios here in Atlanta for the SEC Network. If you're going to leave the production staff in Charlotte, at least build a studio there at, like, CNN Center. There's plenty of room. Lord knows there's plenty of room at CNN Center to build a TV studio. It's kind of wired. So I don't understand why the SEC, if I'm running the SEC, I'm building a studio out at CNN Center that is got glass that everybody can see, and it, you know, as many thousands and thousands of visitors that roll through that place every day and every week. You bet. And then that's going to be a front and center kind of thing. And then I'm going to have the offices here in Atlanta and have everything here just centrally located. I don't know why they're spread. You got one in Charlotte. You got one in Birmingham.
I think they're looking into that, though, John. I think that's probably one of the main reasons why they decided to have the SEC Media Day here, just to see what kind of feel it has for the city or whatever, and how it works out. I think it's going to work out tremendous. It makes sense. To your point, it makes a lot of sense. You know, you got the College Football Hall of Fame here. You got so much stuff going on in Atlanta. You got the Super Bowl host city, you know, and you know that all the kind of revenue that's going to bring here. It only makes sense to have it here in Atlanta.
Well, I mean, and this is, again, nothing against Hoover, but when you've got, like, you know, five major coaches sitting at a table at the Cracker Barrel at Hoover, you're kind of going, okay, you know, maybe we ought to upgrade a little bit. I'm just saying, you know, maybe you ought to just, you know.
What's wrong with the Cracker Barrel?
Nothing wrong with the Cracker Barrel.
I tell you, that country fried steak, man. Come on now. Come on now. And then what's them smothered biscuits? The biscuits, pretty tasty. So, I mean, I don't know why you're dissing the Cracker Barrel.
I'm not trying to diss the Cracker Barrel. I like the Cracker Barrel, but that's me. I'm not like a bazillion-dollar coach with, you know.
You just let me know what it is, John. You get a little money in your pocket, you're going to get brand new. We already know.
Oh, yeah.
You hit the lottery.
Oh, yeah.
John ain't drinking Starbucks coffee no more. He going to drink that highfalutin. He going to get your coffee straight from Columbia. He going straight to Columbia to get your coffee. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need to go to South Carolina no more. I can pass on that. It's just it'll be interesting with the SEC Media Days. And I know that people think it's just, well, it's just a bunch of talking heads, which, it, by the way, it is. It's just a bunch of guys talking. However, when you go to the event, and again, I've been a number of times, it's a really kind of a fascinating thing because the coaches will, well, in the past, let's not forget that we've had controversy come out of these meetings. Philip Fulmer would always, that was the great thing about Philip Fulmer when he was the head coach of Tennessee. He would stand up there and accuse Alabama cheating some way or another every single year. Alabama's cheating, and he would go on some list, and you know.
And not only that, you have Coach Saban hurting people's feelings, well, hurting reporters' feelings, and saying something, you know, that everybody clings to, and it gets misconstrued or taken out of place, or he gets real snippy. I mean, so there's a lot that goes on in these media days that you could might not be about football always, but it's always something exciting going on.
Right, you can already see. You know, some of the questions, like, we'll just take today, for example. Again, there are only three teams, Texas A&M, Kentucky, and LSU. And you know what? What's Jimbo Fisher going to be asked? Well, we know. Hey, are you going to be actually able to win at Texas A&M? How much pressure is there going to be on you to win at Texas A&M, you know, et cetera, et cetera, you know?
Why were you killing Kevin Sumlin's office so bad? Why were you talking so bad about Coach Sumlin's office?
That's true. That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know if you heard this, but Jimbo Fisher went out in public for some reason or another.
Yeah, that made no sense to me.
And slammed Kevin Sumlin for having, I don't know, it was like carpet on the walls or something, the way he decorated his office.
Yeah, like he had a disco ball or something.
Right. I mean, but why would you do that? I mean, just
if I didn't understand that.
I didn't either. If you don't like it, just redecorate. You don't have to go public with the fact that you didn't like it. That made no sense to me. What's Mark Stoops going to face? Hey, what the hell? You know, are you ever going to win there? I mean, he's won there, but I mean, the pressure there has been. You know, they may ask Mark Stoops. What I would probably ask Mark Stoops is, here's a question I would ask Mark Stoops today. What's his name? Schnatter? John Schnatter, the Papa John's guy? Has Papa John's given you an opening now to actually get those Louisville recruits? And because, you know, they took the name off the stadium now in Louisville. You know, now that he's not involved and he's, you know, he did whatever he did, do you actually have a chance? Because the first order of business in Kentucky, you got to be the best team in your own state. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. Because when you think of Kentucky, you don't readily think SEC football.
No.
But I will say this, and I have went out on a limb. I'm picking Kentucky for an upset this year. I think Kentucky gets it done. Because, you know, they had a great start last year until they went to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Florida last year, and they went up against that offensively challenged Florida Gator squad. And Florida exposed them a little bit. But I'm going to say I think Kentucky's poised to make a move this year.
Well, one of the guys they're bringing in today to speak, one of the players, is Benny Snell Jr. And Benny Snell Jr., this is a true thing, okay? Benny Snell Jr. is the best running back you've never heard about, okay? If Benny Snell Jr. were on Alabama or Ohio State, we'd be talking about him as a Heisman candidate. He's that good. And he just happens to play at Kentucky. And then Ed Orgeron, Coach O at LSU, they're going to be asked about Joe Burrow, and he's going to be asked about, you know, can you compete? Because you look at A&M and you look at LSU and you wonder, you know, we certainly expect Auburn to compete or at least be a team that can be a thorn in the side of Alabama this year. But there are three others I can see, A&M, LSU, and Mississippi State, that can all possibly be teams that could push Alabama a little bit, I guess, in the SEC West, I guess. Because I would say this, too. We talked about how last year the East started to come back. When the SEC first split into divisions, the East was the powerhouse division because it was at the height of Florida, right? It was the height of Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow and whatnot.
Agreed.
And then it shifted to the West. And then last year started to even out a little bit with the rise of Georgia. This year, I'm not sure that it's evened out. I think it's kind of, at least on paper, Hewitt's kind of swung back a little bit to Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, LSU, Texas A&M. There are more power teams in the West on paper than there are in the East.
I would agree with that because right now you got Georgia. Like, a lot of people feel like Georgia's poised to go back to the SEC championship game. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it was Georgia and I can't remember who the other team was in SEC, but it was kind of surprising that it wasn't Alabama. Just like early, you know, the way too early predictions for who's going to win SEC. But Georgia's in a really good – yeah, thank you. It was South Carolina. Georgia's in a real good position this year. And I tweeted out something last night where they stole the number one recruited defensive end from they got him. I think he took him from Alabama, and I put it in the notes yesterday. Let me find this.
Well, here's another thing: is Demetrius Robinson going to be ready to? Will he get cleared to play? My guess is I'm going to guess that yes, he's going to get cleared to play. This guy, Demetrius Robinson, 2 years ago in Savannah in high school, Demetrius Robinson, who runs like a 4.3 flat 40-yard, was the number one wide receiver in the nation. He went to Cal. I don't know why, but he went to Cal for 2 years, left Cal and transferred to Georgia. This guy is a phenomenal wideout and is a big player.
And this is the guy, young man from Tennessee. His name is Zion Logu. I think that I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. He has committed to Georgia. He committed to Georgia over Alabama, Tennessee, and others. Big dude, big young man. So, yeah, he's 6'5", 280-pound defensive end. Yeah.
Zion?
Yeah, his name is Zion. Yeah. Zion Logu.
Now they got Zeus and Zion.
Yeah, they got some real epic Greek mythology names on their squad though. But stuff like that, that's what you're looking at. You know,
nobody doubting Kirby Smart's ability to recruit.
I mean,
number one class in the nation. And you know, does that translate now to win? Well, they've got a very favorable schedule. They've got a very easy schedule.
Well, Alabama does too.
Yeah, Alabama does too.
Because you're talking about, like, when they were talking about the top 10 easy schedules in college football, I know Alabama, I think, was like 5 or 10, but they were in the top 10. And Georgia was 10, or if I got it mixed up, but they were both in the top 10, bottom line. Mm-hmm. They both had pretty easy schedules.
It is time now for another code word and your chance to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
access. A-C-C-E-S-S. You know, this is one of those words that you might have a little trouble spelling because, you know, spelling is hard. You know, A-C-C, like, you know, the A-C-C, and E-S-S, which is one of those stupid words you always get in a crossword puzzle, E-S-S. I don't even know what it means. It's just one of those dumb crossword puzzle words. Access, A-C-C-E-S-S. You have till 7:59 to text the word access to 72881. That's access to 72881 from your – I always love this. Text it from your cell phone. No, text it from your landline. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive, of
Does
course.
Does anybody have a landline anymore? Do you have a landline, don't you, John?
No, hell no.
You don't?
No, I haven't had a landline in years.
Daryl.
Daryl, you got a landline?
Yes. Because sometimes I don't want to talk on my cell phone, so.
Yeah, I get you. Because sometimes – you know what? While you're playing, I need to get a landline. As many times as when we're doing our conference calls, my phone drops.
Yeah, you're like at bars, dude.
I got a bootleg phone.
Hugh, are you here? Here's our call. Hugh.
You know what's funny? And I try to set in an area where I can at least get, you know, do the phone call. But sometimes it just becomes a little bit of a struggle, and they drop sometime. But yeah, where I stay, it's a little bit of a chore. It's a little bit of a chore.
All right, so you want to text the word access, A-C-C-E-S-S, to 72881, 72881. I love this again, too. Do not text and drive. Well, since we had the contest last, you can't even pick up your phone and drive.
Yeah, so okay? You probably, if you want to win this money, folks, I know you want to win this money, You better pull over.
Yeah, don't pick up the phone.
Because you don't want to take that $1,000 that you could potentially win and give $100 to Atlanta PD or or who else, John? The Highway Patrol. Yeah, you don't want to give them at least $100. You don't want to do that.
Is that what it is? Is that what it costs? Is that the fine?
Well, it all depends. I guess it's at the officer's discretion because I heard some people say $50, and I've heard some people say $100. I've heard some people say as much as $150. So I don't know. I don't know.
Man, yeah. I saw the big signs when I was driving in, down from Chattanooga, and I saw the big, the big electronic signs, and it says, do not hold your phone in your hand, illegal in Georgia, blah, 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 trying to warn the, the blue taggers and the black taggers and all those people that are heading back to Florida, don't hold your phone.
Well, isn't there currently right now like three states patrolling the interstates? I think Georgia, Florida, and Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken. I saw a bunch of Georgia State Patrol on I-75 North this morning coming up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm, okay, well, you should know that as well. So, again, SEC Media Day is going to be here. Georgia will be up on Tuesday. Wednesday will be Alabama, and Thursday will be Auburn. Of course, all the head coaches, obviously, and you're going to get most of the star players just kind of looking down the list, star quarterbacks like Jarrett Stidham will speak, Jake Bentley at South Carolina. Oh, that's it. Drew Locke at Missouri. Bentley and South Carolina, that's the game because Georgia's season – they play Austin Peay, right? Yeah, Austin Peay to open.
Mm-hmm.
Then they play South Carolina in Columbia week two. That is such a trap game for Georgia. Such a trap game for Georgia. And if they survive that one and they beat Will Muschamp, it may be off to the races. But that's the game they got to survive. And it's week two. Because, they always – I don't know why they always – Georgia could be like 13-0 and number one, and South Carolina could be the worst team in the nation.
And it's always a game.
Yeah.
It's always a game because it's an SEC game. Shout out to my man, my coach, the coach that coached, one of coach friends, that coaches there can't get it out, mm-hmm. Mike Peterson. Can't speak, words are hard. Speaking is hard.
Speaking of the SEC, a coach that used to be a head coach in the SEC that is now out and was let go and walked away and all that kind of good stuff. Well, he's back in the game. He's coaching again, but in the NFL. Who and for what team? Guess what starts this week in the National Football League? NFL training camps open up this week. Hello and welcome to it. Falcons will start next week, but the NFL training camps open up as early as, I believe, Swamp People are first up there, Hugh.
Who is the Saints and, no, wait a minute. Yes, Daryl.
Well, since AT is in the room, would you refrain from using Swamp People because he's a Saints fan? Yeah. And I'm in the room with him, and yeah. I don't want the wrath. Thank you.
That's a nice hearty laugh, too. Wait a minute. Who's in the Hall of Fame game? I forgot already. The name. Anybody remember?
Yeah, the Bears and the Ravens.
Yeah, that's who they're up first. They're going to training camp first.
Let's see here. You're right. I mean, because the Baltimore's already there. You're right. Their veterans are Wednesday. You're correct.
Yeah, because it's like when you said, wait a minute, you said Swamp People, it just threw me off a little bit. Because I'm like, wait a minute, it's the two teams that go first are the ones that play in the Hall of Fame game.
Right.
And then everybody knows the following
week. I stand corrected. So the Ravens are Wednesday. The Bears are Thursday. And Swamp are also Wednesday. So the Ravens.
So it's three teams. Yeah, so it's three teams that go.
Yeah. So the Ravens, I don't know why. But then, whatever. they get an early jump on a bad season. All right, good. Good for them.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, it's about to go down, man. I mean,
I think I've forgotten that AT was one of them Swampers.
How?
I don't know why.
He's unapologetically a Saints fan. He doesn't apologize for that. I mean,
look, I just got my gallbladder out. I don't need to return to the hospital.
But yeah, it's like I used to hate this time of year, man. It's like the reality. Well, I didn't hate it because it was like you're getting ready to get into it. But those first 3 days of camp, they were a beast. They were a beast. It was hot and just getting acclimated because you're wide open. Like, that's why it's best to come to camp. Like, no matter what kind of shape you're in, you're really never in shape for football until you play football. But, boy, them first three days, we used to call them 3 days of hell because we used to hit for the first 3 days. You had your fitness test that morning,
mm-hmm.
and you had a 10-10-10 practice that evening, and you got ready for it, it got real the next day, you woke up in that next morning and you were hitting like it was on, like wide open, like for the first 3 days of camp. And you were okay that first day because the adrenaline carried you. You know, the adrenaline carried you through.
Sure.
That first practice, you were good. That second practice, you started to wane a little bit. But, boy, when you woke up that next morning and that second practice, and you only had 3 days of this, but that second practice, boy, you was like, Jesus, take the wheel, because your body was hurting and you were sore and you did not want to do it. Like, no matter how good a shape that you are in, you felt that. Like, that first few days of hitting, you felt that. That second day you made it through. But, boy, that third day, you was just like, man, somebody come get me. Like, for real, it was tough. But you made it. Once you made it through that, then it kind of curtailed off a little bit. And then you had one day of hitting, like, every other day you would hit. But, man, them first 3 days of practice was no joke.
Well, of course, again, with the NFL camps opening up this week, there are some big storylines to follow. And we know that here in town, we're going to be looking potentially for one guy to sign one deal that'll make that go away. And hopefully that can, if we're lucky and fortunate, maybe that happens this week and we don't have to be talking about it. Because the one thing that I think you and I don't want to do, that nobody on this radio station wants to do, for all the people say, you don't stop talking about him. We don't want to be sitting on the palatial set a week from Thursday or a week from Friday when the Falcons are opening camp and sitting there going, welcome to Flowery Branch, and then the next thing out of your mouth is, guess who's not here?
No, you know what's funny? At the Car and Bike Show, V103 Car and Bike Show, all you heard was, where's Julio? You remember like Bernie Mac? No, it wasn't Bernie Mac. But the dude that did Bebe Kids. You remember he's like, where's Bebe? Robin Harris, where's Bebe? Where's Julio? It was kind of like that this weekend. Everybody was asking. So what's up with Julio? Don't know. Do not know. All I know is that, you know, in a week, almost in a week's time, 11 days, Julio has to be here, and we expect him to be here. That's it. That's all I know.
Yeah, well, I tell you this much. I don't know how much it impacts Julio, but apparently Le'Veon Bell's deal is going to be done today. That's what the reports are, that Le'Veon Bell will get his deal finally done today with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin, the head coach of the Steelers, talking about, after all this time, remember they've been tagging him in the past, a Le'Veon under contract.
He's the type of guy that's highly conditioned over a 12-month calendar. So the getting acclimated things, some of the things that other guys need are less important to him. Obviously, we want to get the deal done. He wants to get the deal done. Everybody has said that. Now it's just about the negotiators getting in the room and doing what it is they need to do. I'm excited and hopeful. Hopefully we'll have some exciting news here before Monday.
Hopefully we can get, you know, I don't know that, again, it has nothing to do with Julio per se. I get that. But if you get Le'Veon Bell signing, maybe that will spur other people to get kind of going and we get some deals starting, kind of get in the works, and everybody kind of gets with the program and says, all right, let's get a deal done. Because we're at a point here with the Atlanta Falcons where if this is a huge, gigantic game of contract chicken, Julio's going to win.
Not necessarily. We hope that that's the case. And from what we've been told, they want to try to keep this as civil as they possibly can. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. It doesn't mean that he's going to win. The right thing to do from a lot of people's perspectives is to give Julio the money. But they've already set the precedent that they don't do things like that, John. So it's really up in the air. And I think that the only thing you can do right now is wait and see what happens, because Coach Quinn is not giving you a whole lot. And he's told you on more than one occasion that they're keeping those conversations between them. That's the best thing to do. Julio Jones hasn't said a whole lot, which is the best thing to do, because just knowing these things and how they work out in the past, the worst possible thing that Julio Jones could do for himself is have something slick to say about the squad. That's the worst thing that he can do, especially leading up to training camp. Now, what's going to be the telltale is whether or not he shows up that first day. Now, talking to Stan Norfleet and some guys this weekend, they feel like Julio's not going to be there that first day of camp. They feel like he's not going to be there. And if he isn't, I mean, technically, that's not a bad thing, because it's not like you do a whole lot that first day anyway. As long as he's there for those padded practices and get that work in, that's what you really care about. But still, it's going to be – that's what everybody's going to be looking for, to see what happens that first day of camp and if Julio Jones shows up.
Yeah, well, certainly going to be talking about that. By the way, there are a couple other quick notes here. Brett Bielema's got a new job. When Georgia had its pro day in Athens and all those guys showed up and you had the hoodie, you know, putting players through their paces – up in Athens, Brett Bielema was there. He was one of the coaches, and people were wondering what he was doing, and there were reports that he was working as a freelancer kind of scouting for the New England Patriots. And now he has a job with the Patriots. And so the former longtime Wisconsin head coach, the coach at Arkansas, it never quite worked for Bielema at Arkansas, you know. Brought him down there from Wisconsin. They thought maybe we could change Arkansas into a version of what they were doing in Wisconsin, which is to, you know, change from that wide-open team. Let's not forget, Arkansas went to number one in the nation with the Felix Jones and all those kind of cats, Darren McFadden's of the world, when they were throwing it all over the Matt Jones and all those guys.
And they had one of the biggest offensive lines ever in college football for a while.
They tried to, and it just didn't quite work. And so Bielema is back in football, and he's with the Patriots. It'd be interesting to see if he sticks in the NFL. There are going to be a lot of, you know, openings in college football, as there are every year. And I would think that, certainly his name will come up. He's had enough success as a head coach that he probably could end up back in college. But he's with the Patriots for now. T.O., a couple of notes about T.O. T.O. is now saying, as you know, that Terrell Owens is going to hold this deal up at Chattanooga at McKenzie Arena for the Hall of Fame, where he's going to have all these fans in there and his buddies, and he's going to do his own Hall of Fame speech the day of the Hall of Fame speeches, and not be part of the event up in Canton. T.O. is now saying he is boycotting the Hall of Fame for those who had to wait to get in. That's what he's saying. He's saying, for those who had to wait, I am going to boycott this Hall of Fame. All right. I guess that'll be the theme of his speech, too, I would imagine.
Yeah, he was talking about basically he was so happy for Jerry Kramer. And I think Jerry Kramer was the guy he was referencing that had to wait to get into the Hall of Fame. My thing is this, John. A lot of people feel different. A lot of people are all over the place when it comes to Terrell Owens making this decision to not go to the Hall of Fame. I've been on record to say, like, if that's what he wants to do, then I'm fine with that. I respect his decision as a grown man. But I do feel that one day he is going to regret not going to the Hall of Fame. I also think that by the way that he handled it, the way that he went about it, I think that was his decision, and I didn't have a problem with that. I commend him for that. He gave the reason why he wanted to have it that way, have it in Chattanooga and everything. For him to come back now and basically give everybody what they thought, I think he didn't have to do that, because everybody was speculating, or saying that he did it because he was mad because he had to wait. Now you're basically adding fuel to that fire. I think he would have been better off just not saying a word. Not even playing into that. Let them think whatever they want to think. He made his decision, and just stick to your decision.
I totally agree. And I thought the Hall was being very petty when they said we're not going to even mention him. We're going to put his coat in the mail, and he won't even be considered. I mean, come on. I mean, you're putting him in the Hall of Fame. You could just at least say that Terrell Owens has chosen not to be here. Terrell is a part of the class. To say that you're not even going to mention his name as part of the class, that's ridiculous.
They're going to overnight him his jacket so he can wear it for Saturday's event.
Oh, I don't think so. I think it'll be late for that event.
See, that'll be cold-blooded. But I think he already got a jacket, though, so he's good. He got one made.
Oh, he got one made? Oh, that's interesting. I think you're right. I think I had read that he got one made. Atlanta United thought it had it made against Seattle yesterday. Very frustrating game. We'll touch on that and where United stands right now after a brutal game against the Sounders. Next on The Morning Show with John and you on this very busy Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All Atlanta on possession here in the opening minutes of the second half. Martinez touches it back to Barco, running down the middle. Left off for Gressel. He'll pitch it to the spot. Martinez with a header. Bounces in! And Atlanta United quickly equalizes in the 48th minute.
Mike Honey on 92.9 The Game, as Atlanta United got the equalizer after the late penalty kick in the first half and put Seattle up 1-0, and that's how it ended, 1-1, despite the fact that Seattle had to play down a man for the last 15, 18 minutes of the game, and the fact that Atlanta United had chance after chance after chance. That was a frustrating last, 5 or 6 minutes. How many opportunities the Atlanta United had right in the doorstep to win that game?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of frustrating for Atlanta United last night. And also, John, for them in the first half of the game, I mean, Seattle Sounders played some pretty solid defense. It was hard for Atlanta United to break through in that first what was the first 20, 25 minutes of the match.
Yeah, listening to Connie yesterday, I've never heard him more harsh, more frustrated, more, you know, disappointment with the referees has happened before. But the tactics that the Seattle, look, Seattle had to, you know, you can get mad at Seattle. I mean, they played this stall game where they're, you know, holding onto the ball and falling on the field and writhing around in fake pain, which they did, you know, all just everything they could to stall the game down, which made for very bad television and very bad soccer. You can get mad at them all you want. Guess what? It worked.
Well, that's why if you look at it and you look at most of the matches that Atlanta United has been in the past few weeks, that's kind of how everybody tries to play them. I mean, they try to slow the game down because they have so much team speed. They have so much talent at each position. Most teams can't match with that, so they automatically try to slow the game down and try to get something going in their favor. That's why Ryan Smesser and Tata Martino were having that, like, it was a part in the match where they showed where they were kind of going back and forth, and it was like trying to get the game speeded back up. And Tata told him, he said, "Well, tell your guys to quit trying to, you know, slow the game down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to help the refs out or whatever." So yeah, it was one of those games where it was just unfortunate that. That's what Atlanta United is going to face that a lot this season, the rest of the season, if you will. They're going to see that a lot.
Yeah, you're right. They're going to get garbage is what they're going to get. And that was garbage. I mean, I totally get why Seattle did it. And again, it worked. I mean, they got a point out of this. And, you know, Seattle has not been very good this year. And they come into Atlanta in front of the largest crowd ever in Major League Soccer history. I mean, the largest crowd ever, national TV.
Yeah, and do that. Have that kind of performance. But you look at them coming in, John, I think they're recognized 4-5-9. They're trying to just, like, they were one of the teams picked to be one of the better teams in MLS this year. They're trying to figure out a way to just turn their season around. And for them, that's all they, like, if you're not going to win, that's all you can hope for is a tie. And they got that. So now they're probably looking at it, they're going to try to turn the season around off of that tie with Atlanta United.
And United's lead over New York City Football Club is down to a point.
Yes.
In the standings.
And New York Football Club has played, I think, one or two less matches than Atlanta United.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. So it's a little, like, I'm pretty sure the players this morning, they're real disappointed because there were many opportunities that they had there in that match to win, but it just they didn't get it done yesterday.
Right. And then you got DC United coming in on Saturday, and DC United, for whatever reason, has been that big thorn. Now, Atlanta United did beat them earlier this year at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but they've been a thorn in our side for a long time, for whatever reason. So that'll be interesting. And Atlanta United getting a tie in a game that they should. You know, they've had so much here. Look, Atlanta United's had a great year, okay? They've had a great year. But they've also had a lot of results that they said, you know, we should have won the game. Remember the game against Dallas 2 weeks ago where they had, you know, 2-1 in the last 5 minutes?
Yeah, then
minutes?
It just came down to it. The last, 10 Man. Minutes of the match is when it went bad for
them. Yeah, I know. And so, and this one wasn't that they were giving up goals, it's that they couldn't put it in the net. And they had a ball crossed clearly across the whole goal line almost from one side to the other, and nobody was there to knock it in. It was just, ugh. And the guy's standing in front of the net, hitting the post, and rebounds that came right to them, and they just couldn't quite get it in. That's because Seattle was packing everybody they had, especially after the red card. Everybody they had was like inside the 25.
Yeah, and it was also one of those things, John, when you're playing with 10 men on the pitch, you couldn't get it done then. That was probably the most egregious thing that they did yesterday. You got 10 men on the pitch, and you still can't take advantage of that situation.
One of the weird things that's kind of developed with Atlanta United about that is they don't seem to play very well when they get a situation when they're man up. Or
you know what's funny? I was about to say it's almost like it feels like sometimes that they play down, they play a little bit down to the competition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't do that if you're a team that wants to win the cup this year, you have to put your foot on teams' necks. And I don't know what maybe you know I don't know maybe that was from the excitement of watching the World Cup yesterday or whatever. Or you know, Seattle Sounders are a good soccer club. But you need to take advantage of the situation when they're presented to you.
You know, watching the World Cup, you know, and of course they had the game at the stadium and all that kind of stuff. Watching the World Cup, it was an exciting game, I hear. I mean, I had listened to it on the radio, so I'd imagine it was exciting on TV. And France ended up winning the World Cup as they took out Croatia by a final count of 4-2.
And this is a generation of young men that grew up in the ghosts of 98, chasing those ghosts, being told about the history, trying to live up to that history. And they have now made their own history. A last look at the watch from referee Nestor Pitana. A final whistle. France have won the World Cup.
That was, of course, Fox Sports, and France wins the World Cup. And when they did, you know, the celebrations, the pictures from the Champs-Élysées last night, a million people out in Paris celebrating. Of course, so you're going to have your knobs that are happening. You know, of course, they're going to get have to bring out the water cannons for the knobs. But still, just incredible for France to win that World Cup. And it just makes you realize a little bit how incredible it might be here in the United States. Were we ever good enough to win it? I don't know that it'll happen in my lifetime, Hugh. May not happen in your lifetime. I think at some point we will be. I don't know if it'll happen in the next 20 years.
It's getting better. I would say that it's getting better. It's just kind of weird that, you know, we didn't have a team represented in the World Cup this year. It was weird. But at the same time, I think that with the play and the exciting play of World Cup soccer this year, that it brought a lot of people in. I was reading a story. I was telling Wendy last week about how big soccer is in the African-American community here in Atlanta. So I think that it has grown. Like, soccer's huge, man, and it has grown. And I think that now you're going to start to see in the next couple years, you're going to start to see a lot more American kids that are really good in soccer because a lot of kids are playing it now. You know, and they, like I told you a few weeks ago, John, have a lot of friends that have kids that go to play on travel soccer teams now. So I think in the next couple of years, I think the next World Cup, I think we'll be represented pretty good.
Man, Christian Pulisic's pretty good. Yeah, we need our Tiger Woods. We need our Messi. We need our superstar striker, you know, to develop, you know, the great American player who can kind of carry a club. And we just haven't had that yet. Whether it's Pulisic, I don't know if it's Pulisic or not, but I don't. He could be. He's still so young. It could be him. Probably going to be somebody else. All right, the Braves are off to the All-Star game tonight, the Home Run Derby. What is facing Freddie Freeman this evening in D.C.? We'll have that as we continue next on a very busy Monday on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.